Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. I have our returning guest. Izzy Kalman will be calling in tonight. He is the director of Buddies to Bullies. And it's all about a different way of addressing how our young people deal with being harassed and bullied by their peers. He and I have done a lot of role-playing on the show, and I'm always completely blown away by how I feel when the whole scenario gets turned around and it's not so, not so threatening. But before he comes on, just to refresh our thinking caps in regard to this problem, I pulled some more facts and stats today about bullying, and I think it bears repeating so that we understand how big an epidemic, how big a problem, and how much it's affecting our daily lives. Did you know in the U.S. alone, it's estimated that 160,000 children miss school every day due to fear of attack or intimidation by their peers? Schools in today's society harbor approximately 2.1 million bullies, and astonishingly, 2.7 million of their victims. Also, that 1 in 7 students in grade kindergarten through 12 is either a bully or a victim of bullying. Statistics also show that 56% of students have personally witnessed some type of bullying at school, and 15% of all absenteeism is directly related to fears of being bullied at school, and that 71% of today's students report incidents of bullying as a problem at their school. However, it's sad to say that statistics show that 1 out of 20 students has seen a student with a gun in school. Very scary. There are approximately 282,000 students that are physically attacked in secondary schools each month. And those in the lower grades reported being in twice as many fights as those in the higher grades. However, there is a lower rate of serious violent crimes in the elementary level than in the middle or high schools. I want to stop right here and remind everybody about the story that I told the other night in regard to the teacher who had the rest of the kids line up and hit another six-year-old. This was first grade, hit another six-year-old to teach him not to be mean to everyone else. So it appears as though in an attempt to stop the bullying problem, we're bullying. Doesn't make a lot of sense. This teacher was let go from her job. Stats also show that 90% of 4th through 8th graders report being victims of bullies. Among students, homicide perpetrators were more than twice as likely as homicide victims to have been bullied by peers. Okay. Homicide perpetrators, that's the person that hurt somebody else, kill somebody else, were more than twice as likely as homicide victims to have been bullied by peers. Okay, so that means the kids that are out there shooting other kids are the ones that are being bullied. Bullying statistics say revenge is the strongest motivation for school shootings. In 2009, 87% of students said shootings are motivated by a desire to get back at those who have hurt them, while 86% of students said other kids picking on them, making fun of them, or bullying them causes teenagers to turn to lethal violence in the schools. Also, 61% of students said students shoot others because they have been victims of physical abuse at home. Now, we've talked about that at length. many times, especially a very shy child or a child who has issues, does get bullied from every corner, and there doesn't seem to be any relief anywhere. Well, 54% of students said witnessing physical abuse at home can lead to violence in school. According to bullying statistics, one out of every 10 students who drops out of school does so because of repeated bullying. Sadly enough, harassment and bullying have been linked to 75% of school shooting incidents in the United States alone. Now, that's a pretty summarized version of all the things that I find on a daily basis in regard to bullying and abuse. And as you know, almost every night, even when we're talking about another issue, bullying plays into it on so many different occasions. Recently, we've had a lot of conversations about mental illness, and we even took a look at some asylums and the treatment of people who should have been in a much safer place years ago. If a mom couldn't get over losing a child within 3 months, they were put in an insane asylum. We've come a very long way, is my point. And things, if I compare to back in the 20s, things are a bit better. But now we have this, I don't know, this attitude that it's imperative that you fight back. And I think that's where everything gets misconstrued. And that's what Izzy has taught us, is there's a better way to fight back instead of the traditional meaning of fighting. So I'm going to bring Shelley in. She joins us every night. Hi, Shell.
Hi, Rain.
I've got Izzy on. I'm going to bring him in. You've been on right from the beginning, so you heard the newest statistics that I read. I'm going to bring Izzy in, and we're gonna talk a little bit about all those new statistics. Hi, Izzy. Welcome back.
Hi, Renee. Thanks for having me back.
It's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. Shelley is on the other line.
Hi, Shelley. Hello.
Shell, are you there? Uh-oh. She's been having a terrible time with the phones here. We've all had a terrible time with the phones. She'll be back on. So, Izzy, I just read some statistics to refresh everybody's memory as to what is going on, and these are relatively new stats about the different kind of counts with students and how many kids miss school every day due to bullying. And the other night, I'd found something online in regards to a problem in an elementary school in a first grade class where a teacher actually had the rest of the class, had a kid stand up front because somebody tattled on him and said he was bullying them. She had him stand in the front of the class and had everybody else walk up to him and hit him. And when they weren't hitting him hard enough, she told them to hit him harder so he learned his lesson. And we talked about that at length. I think I have Shelley back. Are you there, Shell?
Yeah, you might want to keep me muted, though, Reen. I'll hit one if I want to chime in because I'm going through a really bad rainstorm and it's, like, really loud in my car.
Okay. All right. Well, hit the button if you want to talk, honey. Say hi to Izzy.
Hi, Izzy. It's good to have you back.
Hi, Shelley. It's nice to be back.
Yes, good.
Okay, I'm going to mute you, honey. So, as I said, I read this just to remind everybody exactly what kind of problem this is becoming more and more every day. And we often, Izzy, while you've been gone, have reminded people of what you have, in particular, taught Shelley and I through role-playing and through some of the other questions that we've asked. But I would like to see if you could address some of these things. I know you didn't get on right at 7, so I don't know how much of these facts you heard, but
I heard a lot of it.
Okay. the 160 kids, 160,000 kids miss school every day just because they're being intimidated and being bullied. Okay. That's a lot of
kids.
Do
you know how long that number has been thrown around? Somebody somewhere wrote 160,000 kids every day miss school, and it's been repeated ad infinitum. I don't know who counted. Now, the truth is I'm not surprised. Now, they don't count 160,000 kids. They take a sample of kids, and based on the number of kids who get who are not coming to school because they're bullied, they extrapolate to the whole population. But you know, people throw around this number as though it was actually counted. It's been thrown around for 10 years already.
Okay. So how do you feel about the later statistics in regard to the shootings and things like that? Do you think they're anywhere close to being true?
Yeah,
they
sounds
say that,
reasonable.
Yeah. They say that. all of the
like 80%,
percentages
80,
are large.
Mm-hmm. You're saying like 87% of people who kill, it's because they felt victimized in some way.
Yes.
They're getting back. That's right. That's why people kill. They want revenge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
it's
obvious.
There's
nothing new
about
this. Right. Well, the only thing that's new about it is that it gets younger and younger and younger. That's I think, the most upsetting thing about it is the fact that we expect adults to behave badly. We're accustomed to that. But when kids start behaving like that, that's when it really gets scary. And last night I read an incredibly sad letter from a young man who took his own life because he started believing what all the kids said to him, that he was no good and he was this and the world would be better off without him, and he took his own life. And, of course, we've read stories like that many, many times in the 4 months or so that I've been on the air. This is the saddest thing for me. Some of the other stuff I think gets blown out of proportion. But when I was 16, I didn't know of any teenager taking their life.
Oh, I did. I knew
I did.
Kids who took their lives. Now, I don't know exactly why they did it because they didn't tell me, but I remember quite a number of suicides when I was younger. People actually knew.
Really?
And they kill themselves. A few people. Suicide
is
not
new. I know it's not new. I mean, well, like the 11-year-old that hung themselves. You knew of kids that young taking their own lives?
Maybe a little bit older, maybe 13 or 14. 11 is a bit young, but it happens. There are always going to be people who are so miserable that the only way they can think of ending their misery is by ending a life.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not saying there's nothing that can be done about it. I'm trying to do something about it by teaching people at the youngest ages how to deal with difficult situations so they don't have to kill themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think
there are two general reasons why there are more shootings and suicides today. I'm not sure there are more suicides, but certainly more gun-related ones. One reason for more shootings is that guns are more easily available. There are so many guns in this country, so it's more easily available. But also, kids are being taught from preschool that they're entitled to a life in which nobody disrespects them. Nobody's allowed to do anything to them that they don't like. But it's a lie, and they get picked on. They say, "You're not allowed to treat me that way." So kids are getting more upset today because they're being taught they're entitled to a life in which everybody's always nice to them. So they can't handle it when people are mean to them. They think, "You're not allowed to treat me that way." And when they get angry, people for treating them badly, they get treated even worse. So it escalates, and then they want to kill.
Mm. Well, that's an interesting point of view, and I guess to a certain extent that's true. I think most of us, if you grow up in a home where everybody loves you, and then when you go out to the outside world and find out that everybody doesn't love you out there, then that is kind of a rude awakening. And I am aware of that, and I know what that feels like. And I know what that feels like secondhand when I found out that there were actually people that didn't think my children were just the most adorable things that ever walked the face of the earth. I was devastated.
Mm-hmm.
So I get all that. But on the same token, I don't think it's a terrible thing to expect to be treated with some kind of dignity and respect, even if you're five.
If you expect it, if you expect to be treated with dignity all the time, you're going to be disrespected more often. It's a trap. We should be teaching kids that sometimes people are going to treat you badly. It's a fact of life. You don't have to get upset by it. This is how you deal with it. We expect to be treated with dignity, but that's why we get angry when we're not treated with dignity. And when we get angry, we look like fools, and then nobody can respect us. So it's a trap. For years and years, we're trying to teach people to be nice to each other, and you shouldn't tolerate anybody being mean to you, and we wonder why people keep on being mean to each other and why bullying is becoming a bigger problem. It's fine to teach people to be nice to each other, but what's missing from the education is, what do you do when people aren't nice to you? That's what's missing. And because they're not being taught, they don't know how to handle it, and they get more upset, so they get treated even worse.
Mm-hmm. So what are you suggesting, Izzy? Are you suggesting that we warn our kids before we send them out, that it's not a nice world out there, and that they have to be aware of the fact that people are not going to always be nice to them? I mean, I have had those conversations when a kid comes home, especially when they're real young. They come home and tell me, my friend was mean to me. It just happened recently with AJ, who's six. He came home crying because his had another friend come over, and they sided against him. And I said, welcome to the real world. But
exactly.
I don't think that I would be happy about starting them out saying that, because that's almost like it's groundwork where they leave.
Hello?
I'm here. I don't know what all that, I don't know why we're getting so much static. Shelley, are you back on?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but I don't know where all the static was from. Izzy, say something and see if you're staticky now.
Am I staticky now?
No, everything's much better. Yeah, there
was only
a lot
for
of
a few seconds.
A little bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't even hear any of the static on my end.
Yeah, well, that's we've been having a lot of storms here, Izzy, and every couple times the radio show just shut down and we couldn't even stay on the air. But at any rate, Izzy's talking about. Did you hear everything, Shell? Were you able to hear everything?
Yeah, I actually had a comment to make with regard to that, because I've experienced what Izzy's talking about with regard to kids today being taught that they shouldn't tolerate being disrespected, and that is a huge part of the problem. A lot of the violence that I see children are from the children, and that's exactly what they're taught. They're taught not to allow anyone to disrespect them, and that this is something that can be dealt with violently. The parents are even violent about it. You know, it's like if they see it, if somebody disrespects them or says something critical, they're ready to throw it down and start fighting just because of it. I mean, a perfect stranger can say something critical, and they put too much importance on it. Now, if you have a healthy self-esteem, you're not going to have that reaction. You're not going to care if somebody walks up and says something derogatory to you, because you're just not going to care. And I correct me if I'm wrong, Izzy, but I think what Izzy's talking about is teaching these kids to have a healthy enough self-esteem so that if somebody does say something derogatory, it doesn't put them into a mode where they feel like they have to defend themselves. They have to get to the point where they don't care. just your opinion. You can have whatever opinion you want of me. I'm okay with me. If you're not, that's your problem, not mine. That type of an attitude.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's more or less. But I've seen the current generation. Now, there are more kids there that cannot deal with someone saying something of a critical nature, even if it's legitimate. And the first thing they said is, you know, who the hell are you to disrespect me? I'm not disrespecting you. I'm making an observation, you know. But they put too much in. I've never heard that word used so much inappropriately as I have in the last five or six years or so. Everybody uses that word, and they use it like they're ready to take you down if you don't respect them. Meanwhile, who's going to respect you for getting violent because they thought you were disrespecting? I mean, the whole cycle is idiotic. You know, you're going to stick a gun in your face, and you're going to respect them? No, you're not going to respect them. You're going to fear them. It's not respect. And the current generation doesn't even know what respect means.
Well,
that's a good point. But there's also another thing going on. You know, one thing is because, you know, people are being taught to believe that nobody is allowed to disrespect them. They react violently. But there's another thing that's going on that also creates a lot of hostility. Kids are being told that if somebody treats them badly, they have to tell an adult. Even if you can handle it by yourself, you have to tell the school authorities. They have to know what happened. The school has to keep a record of what happened. So kids are telling on each other more. So if you disrespect me and I tell the teacher on you and you get sent to the principal's office, are you going to like me better?
No, of course not.
Now, personally, I would rather have you hit me than get me in trouble with the authorities.
Yeah.
Deal with me directly, but don't tell on me. One of the nastiest things you can do to people is to get them in trouble with the authorities.
Right.
So schools are teaching kids, if somebody's mean to you, come and tell the school about it. You know, we'll deal with this for you. But then it escalates hostilities.
Exactly, exactly. And then they don't deal with it effectively, and it perpetuates the situation.
Yeah.
Well,
they learn that they're not expected to deal with it by themselves, and they should tell. But telling is snitching. In most cases, it's snitching, and kids hate snitches.
Well, I agree with both of you to a certain extent, but in my experience with young people, it's either black or it's white in many cases. You either tell them to tell so that you know always what's going on, or you tell them to stand up for themselves. And we watched the bully movie, and we saw what happened when the dad said, stick up for yourself, don't be such a wuss. If I get involved, it'll get worse for you. And the kid ended up doing something back. He's the one who got suspended, and he inevitably took his own life. So it's not, you know, we're not talking to adults when we talk to kids. And I understand what you're saying. And I think probably one of the things that's missing here is that the adult that's being told is the one that's not reacting in the right way. If
right.
a kid is told to alert a teacher or a parent or whoever is in charge of them at any given moment says to them, look, every time I sit down, you know, Rini tries to pull the chair out from underneath me. And the last time she did it, I bumped my chin, and it hurt, and I have a big bruise on my butt, whatever the case might be. Okay, so the next step is where you're saying it all goes haywire. The next step belongs to the adult, and that adult has to handle it in a fashion that is wise and prudent. And that's really where it's going wrong. I'm not comfortable with telling a kid they're not supposed to tell you when somebody's being mean to them. I think an adult should know, but I also think that as one of your, the man you talked about a long time ago, and I read about him too, and I can't think of his name, but he talks about the fact that more training to the adults that are involved needs to be done, and that's where I think something has to happen, because to just tell a kid, because a kid won't know where to draw that line, is he? I don't believe they will.
Right.
You're right. It's not that it's wrong to tell kids to tell. The thing is, the adult has to know what to do to make things
right.
better rather than worse. But if I work in a school, I go from class to class, I teach everybody what to do, so they know how to handle it by themselves. They don't have to tell an adult. But if they
mm-hmm.
do tell the adult, what is the adult going to do? Today, the adult is required to investigate and to punish, you know, to consequence the bully. And the victim
mm-hmm.
is not to be held responsible to anybody. You have to punish the bully. You can't let them get away with it. But that usually makes things worse. It's fine to tell kids to tell. If what you're telling them is, if other kids are upsetting you, come and tell me about it. I'll teach you how to handle them. Or I'll send you to the counselor. The counselor will teach you how to handle them. But not tell us who's bothering you. We'll protect you from them. We'll punish them. That usually makes the situation worse.
Right.
And I agree with that 100%.
Yes,
100%. I have another caller. I think I know who it is. Hello, this is Renee. Welcome to Heart to Heart.
Hello.
Hi, Gary. I thought that was you. I try to remember the area codes where all of you call from. Izzy and Shelley, this is Gary Leifer from far away. And,
I think we've spoken a few times before.
Yes, we have.
Hi, Gary.
Did you want to say something, Gare, about this conversation?
Oh, my gosh. Izzy, I don't know. You get me going.
a lot of people get upset by what I say, but what I teach is awfully effective.
But I also feel like, you know, if a kid, I don't know. I just think telling somebody is important. A lot of kids cannot defend themselves against a bully. Once you're a target, you're a target. And that bully is going to come after you no matter what. You go and tell somebody. That way, I mean, you have to tell somebody. If you cannot defend yourself against that bully, go tell somebody.
Why are you saying that the bully is going to come after you no matter what?
Because they're already
what
coming
is that
after
based
you.
On it?
They're already coming after you. I mean, that's why they're bullies. That's why, I mean, they pick you as a target. And you could sit there and try to defend yourself, but if somebody's after you, they're going to come after you no matter what.
Okay.
And
if they're after you, first of all, what you're saying, you know, it's not true. It's not a one-way street. It's not like it's a one-way street from the bully towards the victim. It's a relationship. The way the victim responds to the bully is going to determine what the bully does. And defending yourself, you know, this idea that the victim can't defend themselves, it's a mistake to defend yourself because you lose if you defend yourself and you're treating the person like an enemy. One of my rules is don't defend yourself from bullies. Everybody says you have to defend yourself, but it's a mistake. We defend ourselves from enemies. So if you make fun of me, I defend myself. I am treating you like you're my enemy, and you're treating me back like an enemy. Plus, I lose by defending myself. You automatically win if I defend myself, so you're going to keep on coming after me if I defend myself from you. The way to defeat your bullies is by treating them like a friend. You don't defend yourself. I can show you, demonstrate. Make fun of me. Say the worst things about me. And don't let me stop you.
Oh, my gosh.
By the way,
no,
I do it too. But I think I might have done this with you before.
Yeah, you did. I keep on demonstrating.
Meaning I've been on your show many times. I keep on demonstrating how beautifully it works. But people just don't want to give up the idea that a bully is going to come after you no matter what. It is not true.
Because what you're saying is that kids have to have the exact words to say to a bully, and if they slip up and say just one wrong move, that's still going to continue the cycle.
I didn't say that. Why are you saying I said that? I never said something like that. You don't have to have the exact words. What you need is the right attitude. If you have the right attitude, you'll know what to say. Plus, if I work with a kid, I teach them how to deal with it, and they see how easy it is. It's effortless to stop being bullied. We just don't want to believe it. We'd much rather think that bullies are terrible and other people have to help us and they have to get in trouble. But it's not working. It's been 14 years after Columbine. We've had this intensive anti-bullying education and anti-bullying policies and anti-bullying laws, and now it's being called an epidemic. What we're doing isn't working. So, you know, people are attacking me, so I should defend myself. The bullying experts should be defending themselves because what they're teaching isn't working.
Okay. My son was bullied by this kid getting tripped in the hallway and stuff. My son came told me. He came and told me. I went down to that school, and the problem was solved. The problem was fixed.
Uh-huh.
And my son wasn't able to defend himself or have to protect himself. He shouldn't have to protect himself against this kid. That's the number one thing. No kid should have to defend themselves against another kid
The idea that you have to defend yourself is a trap. You lose by defending yourself. Now, you're right. So your son went to the school, and it helped. Sometimes it does help to go to the school, but often it makes it worse. So sometimes it works. It doesn't always. But let me ask you, Gary, would you rather have your son have to depend on the school authorities to get kids to be nice to him, or would you rather him know how to do it by himself?
My son has a lot of friends. He does it on his own. But
okay, you
want
everybody would rather have their children know how to solve their problems by themselves rather than having to rely on others. So sometimes relying on others works. I didn't say it never works,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes it backfires. But if you know how to deal with it, you don't have to have anybody helping you. And it's so easy. I've been shown over and over again on the show how easy it is to stop being bullied, but people don't want to accept it. You don't have to if you don't want to, but it's simple not to be bullied.
I see what you're saying. I mean, you're saying a good point, but I just don't feel like it would work for every kid. I think every case is different. And
Nothing works for everybody, but my success rate with working with kids is at least 90%. With a few kids I don't succeed, they're either too disturbed and they can't do it or they can't understand it. But my success rate is at least 90%, and you would be amazed at how well children do. Almost everybody I work with, they're so happy. Their parents tell me, my God, my child was never so self-confident, and they'll go to school happy. My child has never been like this before. Nobody is teaching children the best way to deal with being bullied.
Are you saying that kids should just have enough self-esteem towards themselves?
No, you don't really need self-esteem. You need to understand what's really going on. You need to know what's going on and how to deal with it. If you have high self-esteem, you're more likely to handle it well and not to be bullied. But you don't need self-esteem. What you need to know is that the reason you're being picked on is because you're getting upset. The only reason anybody gets picked on over and over again is because they're getting upset. So once the kids realize, oh, I'm not going to get upset, they stop being bullied. It really has nothing to do with self-esteem. You don't have to have self-esteem to do this. You have to have a little bit of a brain to understand what's going on. And I show kids what's going on. The kids think they're being picked on because they're gay, they have red hair, they're in special education. No, they're being picked on because they're getting upset when they're picked on.
Oh, I don't know.
You want me to demonstrate it again? Gary, insult me. And the first time I'll do it the typical way. Insult me. Say the worst things about me and don't let me stop you.
I think you're giving the wrong message to people. I mean, to some degree, I think you're giving the wrong message to people. I think you're setting kids up to get bullied, to get harassed, and... You know,
that's what you think, but I guarantee, there's lots of nasty stuff written about me on the internet, but it's all written by adults who don't like my ideas. I challenge you to find one person who wrote on the internet that I worked with them or they read my books and it made things worse for them. Find one person who complained that my help didn't work.
I'm going by my experience.
It didn't work with me. But you never had me help you. I guarantee you, Gary, that if I had the opportunity to help you when you were being bullied, you would have stopped being bullied. The thing is, you know, people, adults who were victimized when they were kids, they have it, it's stuck with them their whole lives, and they know how much they suffered, and they keep on suffering about it. So they think the solution must be something so difficult, it can't work. But it's only because nobody helped you properly when you were being bullied. Try to find one person who has written anything on the internet saying, they used my help and it didn't work.
I'm not saying it doesn't work.
I'll demonstrate. Let me demonstrate it with you. Gary, insult me. I'll do my game with you. Insult me and don't let me stop you.
I'm trying to insult you, but I can't do it. It's not in my
Gary, I want to intervene here a little bit, you two. Gary is uncomfortable doing that with you. He showed us that the last time that he tried to do that with you. And even though I think you made him think about a lot of things, this is just my opinion, you know, we all have one. I think Gary is still pretty hurt by some of the things that happened to him, and to think that they could have just been wiped away if he'd have just turned around and said, what are you mad at me about, is not sitting very well with him, and he really deep down doesn't feel like it would have worked. So let
That's
me
right,
say
but
that.
He doesn't know. You can't go back in time. You can't undo
exactly.
the past.
But now he has a child that he loves dearly, and he's gone to school, and he's taken over and done what I am saying. Even though I agree with your program, I think you know that I agree with it wholeheartedly, and I've seen it work. I've felt it in my heart work with me. So, but what I'm saying, and I think what Gary is trying to say, that there are times that it's the adult in the picture, what I said before Gary called in, the adults have to be trained so that they handle these things so that they don't turn into big disasters or big, you know, like you call, even your words is the authorities. I don't think it should be about the authorities. You make them sound like the Gestapo. I don't want that either. I don't believe in that either. And I would never call the police for a fight in the yard or anything like that because I don't believe in that. But what I do believe in is the fact that if you have a very young child, I'm going to say not just a, I'm not saying a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old unless they have other issues, but a child that's 8 to 12 and they're being picked on and they're trying to deal with it in their little brain all on their own, they have to have an adult that's trustworthy enough and has been trained enough so that they can step in, make this child feel like they're safe, number one, and like they can maybe help do something about somebody who's not being nice to this kid. And again, I don't think there should be anything that's like a big drawn out thing with calling the police and getting the police to come in and getting somebody expelled from school. You're right about that. That just snowballs into a big fiasco. I agree 100,000,000%.
Yeah.
But I still believe the adult.
Okay, let's say, Weenie, we're 8 years old. You insulted me. I told the teacher on you. Are you going to like me better?
Well, it all depends on it all depends. No, it all depends on what the teacher says to me. If the teacher ostracizes me and makes me feel, you know, embarrassed and calls me down in front of everybody else, yes, I'm going to be angry with you and I'm going to be angry with the teacher and I'm not going to want to go back to school. However, if the teacher took me aside and said to me, you know, Renee, you really hurt Izzy's feelings. You know, what about him is it that you don't like? Just like what you're telling the people to do to the other people. If an adult could walk, I've done it my whole life. My whole life I've been that mediator for so many scenarios, I can't tell you. Ask Miss Shelley. And it works, and I know it works. But my point is, and I think Gary's point is, when you have a young kid, they haven't kissed the Blarney Stone like me, and they don't know what to say, and they don't know how to put it across so that they make the point that you're suggesting that they make. Can you teach them how to do it? I have no doubt.
Absolutely. I can teach the average 7-year-old how to stop being bullied. I can teach a five-year-old, but I'm not sure a five-year-old can get it. It's not a matter of age. It's the fact that they're not being taught how to handle it. And read me, let's say I told you that Johnny called me a bad name, and then you go over to Johnny and you tell him, please, you hurt his feelings, don't do it again. Did I learn anything? Am I any wiser now that you went and told him to stop picking on me? Did I learn anything?
No, well,
it's going to help me in the future.
Well, I need to defend myself in this. If I were in that position, and if I had the opportunity to train someone else in that position, I wouldn't tell them to do that, first of all. Answer to that would be yes. You would come to me. I picked on you, and the teacher would come to me and say, you know, what's going on? What's the reason you don't like Izzy? Why are you being, not nice to Izzy? And maybe I have a reason. And I tell her, well, you know, because, you know, I don't like the way he always touches my pencils and he does this and he does that. You know how little kids are. And so you say, okay, so I'm going to sit with you and Izzy and we're going to talk this over. This is how I do things. And I say, Izzy, Rini doesn't like it when you do this. Can you guys talk about this? And you can do this with five-year-olds. I know that. I do that.
Yeah.
But what
I'm saying to you...
Yes, what I'm saying to you is the adult in the lives of these young people has to be their protector for a long time. I agree that they shouldn't go out thinking that nobody's supposed to give them hell for something that they do wrong. That's ludicrous.
And I believe that the village
should raise the kids as well.
Yeah.
If you're doing something bad, you should be able to stop them.
The process you are describing is not protecting children from each other. What you are describing is teaching kids how to deal with each other directly.
Yes,
you're teaching them,
absolutely.
Go tell him. You're not protecting them, you're teaching them. That's not mm-hmm. the same as protecting.
Well,
protecting
it is.
It's not protecting, you're teaching them how to deal with each other by themselves. Talk it out, tell them what's bothering you. You are teaching them to handle it on their own. Which is good.
Right, but isn't that a source of protection? If all I do is do what most of them do is go over and say, you know, if you touch Izzy again, you're going to be suspended for 10 days. Then you're right. I'm upset. I'm angry. I don't want to go back to that school again. It snowballs out as something totally that didn't need to happen. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, what you're doing is you're teaching them. You're being in the middle. You're getting them to understand each other, to talk to each other. Yeah, but that's
right. Fine.
There's nothing wrong with that. But the thing is, the laws today, there are laws against bullying, which means that the bully is the bad one, and the bully has to get consequenced, you know, which is the euphemism for punishment. The school has to play judge. They have to figure out who the bully is, and the bully has to get punished.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're not teaching anymore.
That's what the law requires. Doesn't work. It makes it worse.
To me, bullying is almost like a criminal act, and criminals get punished, and so should bullies. I mean, it's a criminal
but
act.
You,
You're going after somebody and trying to hurt them to the point where they want to hurt themselves. And
Okay, but now let's reevaluate what we're talking about. We've talked about this before, and I don't know whether you joined us on that show or even listened, but we did talk about the difference between picking on somebody and bullying them, you know, sticking their pigtail in the inkwell like in the old days, things like that, as compared to actually hurting somebody, punching somebody in the face and breaking their nose. That's a criminal act. That's no longer in a bullying arena. Calling somebody names and doing things and not touching their person is mean and inconsiderate and is bullying. But you didn't hurt the other person. You hurt their innards, but you didn't hurt their outards. So what you've got to do now is figure out a way to make these two people at least tolerate each other, and that's what Izzy is trying to do, and that's what he's trying to teach, and it makes for a much kinder world. More harm doesn't beget any kind of harmony. It just doesn't get it. So what he's trying to teach us is that if we turn things around and deal with it like we're supposed to, you know, when I managed Hippocrates, we had so many different kinds of personalities. And you can ask Shelley, I'd make grown-ups come in my office and hug each other because they had to work side by side, and they'd be talking about each other behind their backs, but they didn't hurt each other. They didn't smack each other with a 2x4 or stab each other or do any of those kind of things. Those are when the police get involved. Those are when somebody has committed a criminal act. And if you're talking about being abused like that, that's really no longer bullying. That is like what those boys did to my grandson. Everybody said, well, do you think it was about bullying? And I'm like, you think that's bullying? That's, you know, they tried to kill him.
But also, but there's a the word bullying is very confusing and it's not helpful. Most of the serious aggression is not caused by people who are trying to bully anybody. It's caused by people who feel victimized.
Mm-hmm.
So your grandson, or the kid, felt victimized by him, especially after the police was called on, were called
mm-hmm.
on one of them. So they felt victimized, and they wanted revenge against your grandson.
Yep.
Revenge is not bullying. Revenge is victim behavior. All of these shootings, you said 87% of shootings are committed by people who felt victimized because they want revenge.
Yep, that's right. That's right. But it's two different things. And I think Gary's feelings on this are more involved, and I think they're deeper hurts than just being picked on once in a while. And I think it comes from his own history. But probably Gary, having talked to Gary several times and I think gotten to know him a little bit, went to school and handled it like an adult. He didn't go in and throw his arms all around and say, you better do something. My kid gets hurt again, or somebody picks on my kid again. I'm going to call the cops. I bet you didn't do that, did you, Gary?
Yeah.
No. You went in and acted like an adult who was concerned about their child. And hopefully the people involved in the school handled it as well, too. Obviously they did, because everything stopped. That's all I'm saying, and I do feel that that's a source of protection, even though it's not like standing in front of him so nobody can get to him. But it's something that a child learns to depend on, that the parents or the adults in your life are smarter than you. They're supposed to be, and very sadly, often they're not.
And I look at it like they're often not.
Mm-hmm.
I also look at it like. If a child comes to an adult, sometimes children don't have the self-esteem or the, you know, not sure what to do, so they go to an adult for that information, for that, to know that they're loved, that to know that they're...
Yep.
And, I mean, some kids don't have that self-esteem to think they're worth anything because they're
You don't need self-esteem. You just need to understand what's going on and how to make it stop. You can have low self-esteem and not be bullied. My self-esteem isn't that great, but I'm not a victim of bullying. I mean, the truth is I get bullied by anti-bully activists. I don't get picked on by anybody in my life because I know how to handle it. But believe me, my self-esteem isn't that great. It's not, you know, you can start out with the highest self-esteem in the world. If your peers start making fun of you and they never stop making fun of you, it'll destroy your self-esteem. But if you know how to deal with it and you get them to stop bullying you, your self-esteem automatically goes up because now you feel competent. You solved the problem by yourself without anybody's help. So if you learn how not to be bullied on your own, you automatically become more higher in self-esteem and you become more popular. Because if I'm the kid who everybody's picking on, people are too embarrassed to be seen talking to me. But if I'm no longer the loser, then people start talking to me more. So my popularity goes up. It's mm-hmm. not a matter of self-esteem. It's understanding the dynamics of bullying and how to stop being bullied. And it's simple. I've shown it over and over again how simple it is.
Do you feel your system will eventually make it so parents are like, or adults are like, you know what? Take care of it yourself. we don't have to get involved
It's not a matter of taking care of yourself. Yeah, the adults have to teach the kids how to take care of it by themselves. Otherwise, they're not going to know. The kids are not going to know how to do with it by themselves. They have to be taught. But it's simple to be taught.
Okay.
The schools are spending so much time on every incident of bullying. Now, today, schools are required, when there's a complaint of bullying, to meet with each child involved, to meet with witnesses, to meet with the teachers, to meet with both sets of parents individually, to write reports. This easily takes 10 or more hours of staff time just to deal with one incident of bullying. It doesn't necessarily solve the problem. In 10 hours, I can teach the whole school what to do about bullying, and the problem will almost completely disappear. But kids have to be taught what to do. It's not go solve it by yourself. That doesn't teach the kids what to do. You have to teach kids what to do, but it's easy. Nobody's teaching it to them.
You know, guys, I think what Izzy's talking about here is like kind of what Rainey and I learned at Hippocrates with regard to health. If you can take preventative measures and eat a better diet and exercise and have a good attitude about life, then you're never going to get the cancer in the first place or get the diabetes or whatever the health issue is, all right? It's easier to maintain health when you have it than to recover from a dire disease. So the same thing here. Izzy is saying if we can teach kids these coping mechanisms before they even become bullies, They're not going to become bullies.
Before they become victims.
Right, before they become a victim. Exactly.
Yeah.
Or become, you know, because it's like a preventative measure that they're already equipped with the way to respond. And they don't need to know the exact words. They don't need to know the exact phrases. It really is just simply an attitude. The reason why I know this works is because the school that I went to when I was younger was brutal. There was a lot of fights. In fact, there were more fights among the girls than there were among the boys, which is surprising. But there were a lot of fights. But these were brutal fights. And I had gotten in the middle of a couple to defend somebody else, and I ended up getting a reputation and nobody would mess with me. But the point of it is that I had a particular attitude about me that I could literally walk up to these girls and without even saying anything, they would just disperse because it was a mindset that I had. They tried to bully me in the beginning, but I didn't react to it. I laughed at them, you know, and it was like, you know, but I didn't laugh at them. I laughed like I thought they were joking with me. I kind of like, you know, like I laughed with them, so to speak, and they lost interest in me, you know.
Yeah.
But it was obvious that they were trying to intimidate me. I knew what they were trying to do, you know, and I think that's what Izzy's talking about. I recognized that they were trying to bully me. I just didn't play into it. And within literally one or two episodes, they lost interest in me and moved on. But I ended up getting a reputation in the school as somebody they wouldn't mess with.
Uh-huh.
But my thing is I never reacted. I never said anything. I never reacted to what my bullies were saying. You know, I would just smile and walk away like it didn't bother me.
Okay,
but
Gary,
I think nothing. Like my mom.
Gary, honestly, haven't we spoken about this before on the phone?
Yes.
Have we spoken about this very thing? Do you remember that I explained to you that as long as you're upset on the inside, you're still going to get picked on? So you were trying not to show it, but you were hurting on the inside. If nobody wants to be upset. Everybody wants to be happy. So if you can turn me from a happy person into an upset person, you have defeated me. And you're going to feel it. I can't hide my feelings for long. If I'm hurting on the inside from what you're saying to me, you feel it. So you're going to keep on doing it to me because you want to win. All living creatures are programmed to try to win. So if I get upset, you're going to keep on picking on me. I don't have to get upset outwardly. As long as I'm upset on the inside, I have lost, and you're going to keep on doing it to me.
Let me role play with you, Gary.
I'm going to make a role play that's easy for you to do, an easy one for you to do. I want you to tell me, Izzy, you're full of crap. Your bullying advice doesn't work. Criticize me. Say that I don't know what I'm talking about bullying. Do it.
You're full of crap. You don't know what you're talking about.
Wait, I'm not full of crap. I've been teaching this for years, and it works wonderfully. Don't say I'm full of crap. Keep on saying it. The game is for you not to stop criticizing me for what I say about bullying.
I don't believe it, though. I think you're 50% correct.
I am not 50% correct. I'm 100% correct. Stop saying I'm only 50% correct.
You're only 50%. I think there's cases for every. case is different. I think there's so many different bullying situations that I can't say that you're 100% correct.
I am 100% correct. I'm not 50 or even 90% correct. I'm 100% correct.
Maybe for the people that you worked with, but not for every child out there.
Gary, stop challenging my
expertise in front of everybody. I'm an expert, and you're challenging my expertise in front of everybody.
Well, you're an expert for certain kids that the system worked for.
Stop laughing for almost all kids. Okay, I'm stopping the game. See, notice you're laughing. You're even laughing at me. And you keep
because
on here saying that
because I'm not mean.
You're laughing. I'm getting upset. But that's what goes on in bullying. The bullies, the so-called bullies, are inclined to hurt the kids. They enjoy getting them upset. I'm getting upset and you're laughing about it. But now we're going to do it again, Gary. I want you to challenge my expertise on bullying, and this time I'm going to treat you like a friend. So start again. Put me down all you want for what I teach about bullying. Start again.
I think you're only 50% correct on what you're saying. I think your system works for only 50% of the kids out there.
Yes, some people think that it's only 50% effective.
Okay.
What exactly do you think is wrong with what I teach?
I think it doesn't work for every kid. Every situation is different.
It doesn't work with every kid. Even though I'm an expert, my success rate is only about 90%. There are 10% of kids I work with that I don't succeed. You know, I'm not 100% effective.
Yeah, but there's probably 90% of kids out there that went to an adult, got the help they needed, got the situation taken care of. So your statistics are off depending on which kids you're dealing with.
You know statistics that show that 90% of kids were helped by going to an adult in school? I'd love to see that. I haven't seen it anyplace.
It's probably not recorded. I don't know.
Yeah. The world's most famous anti-bullying program is the Olveus Bullying Prevention Program, and Olveus is the creator of the whole field of bullying. The most intensive and massive study on his approach was completed about a year ago, and all they had was a 12% reduction in children who said that they were bullied twice or more a month. So even this most revered program only had a 12% success. So I don't know of any program having a 90% success rate.
Mm-hmm. Guys, I have to cut us short because we're down to a minute.
Did you notice that it's harder to put me down the second time and you're not laughing anymore? It's only fun if I get upset. If I don't get upset, it's no fun. But we also have a more meaningful conversation because I'm not getting angry with you. I'm treating you like a friend.
I can't see an 8-year-old doing that, but go ahead.
I can teach a 5-year-old to do it. If you have an 8-year-old who needs help, send them to me. I'll show you how quickly I help them. I'll do it for free. I'll help them for free if you have an 8-year-old that needs help.
I don't have one. Don't want one.
How old is Patrick?
He's 16.
How old is Patrick? 16.
He's 16,
that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, he does pretty good. He overall does pretty good.
Well, and he has a great sense of humor and everything from everything I see. Okay, we're down to just a few seconds. I want to thank everybody. This was a great show. I think that we're really all on the same page, but we have different ways of expressing ourselves, which is great and wonderful. But Izzy will be back next Wednesday, I hope, right, Iz?
Yes, very good. Thank you.
Okay.
And Gary, I hope you'll be back too.
I will.
Okay.
Sure, I will.
Okay.
Yeah,
I can't
just have everybody agreeing with me. It's no fun.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm just trying to figure it out.
Yeah, well, and that's what it's all about. And the questions that you ask, Gary, are questions that other people would think of. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's wonderful. And that's the whole idea. That's what we're trying to do on this whole show, is to think of all the different things that other people can come up with and maybe answer their questions because they don't know how to ask them themselves. So mm-hmm. I want to thank everybody again. Shelley, thank you. Izzy and Gary, thank you so much. And everybody out there, from my heart to yours, this is Rini saying good night and God bless. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Rini. Good night, Shelley. Good night, Gary.
Good night,
everyone.